Hi, everyone. My name is Ann Hilton, and I'm the Social and Digital Media Manager with the League of Education Voters. Thank you for joining us today. This is the first webinar in our series of lunchtime webinars, You're Going to College. Our goal is to bring you succinct info sessions at the lunch hour on some of LEV's top education priorities. We've also worked to create these webinars in a fashion that helps build a base of knowledge for advocacy. Each topic we've selected includes three presentations. The first of the three in each series will engage advocates on a personal level. We're hoping to provide some tangible skills for you and your young person to help navigate the public school system. The second presentation in the series helps put context to the issue. Many of the barriers we face in the schools as individuals are actually quite common to parents, guardians, and families. Through sharing and building relationships, we help empower ourselves to keep advocating. The third webinar in the series will bring you a bright spot or an example of best practices. In advocacy and social change, it's important to share your vision that outlines how you think schools should be, not merely what we believe is unjust. The format is simple. We're going to dive right into the presentation from our guest. We'll wrap up a few minutes early so our presenter can answer questions from the audience. You'll notice we have a chat function on the left-hand side of the webinar. This is a space for you to post questions to the presenter. Please remember to be respectful, as all this information is public and will be archived on our website for later access. Lastly, visit our webpage at educationvoters.org in order to view the full list of past and future webinars. Today, we'll hear a presentation from Rosalind Jenkins, Director of the Black Education Strategies Roundtable. The Black Education Strategies Roundtable is a partner of the League of Education Voters and was instrumental last legislative session in passing important reforms to close Washington's achievement and opportunity gaps. Welcome, Roz. Please take it away.
Thank you so much, and welcome everyone to a diploma that means something, how to prepare your student for success after high school. The first thing to know is that this is, in fact, the first in a series of three, and I've included in the slideshow information about the next two, and take a quick look at that if you're online now. Make note of those dates and mark your calendar. The important thing to know about you're going to college is there is a major mismatch looming right now in the state of Washington, business needs versus the education level attained of young people. Young adults simply do not have the educational level to match the job opportunities available, and you see it reflected in very high unemployment rates right now today for young people between the ages of 18 and 24. The table you may be looking at now is a chart that shows young adult unemployment rates by education level. You'll note that those students who had completed high school and completed college have a 9% unemployment rate if they completed a bachelor's degree, a 7% unemployment rate if they did an associate's degree, a 33% unemployment rate if they didn't finish high school. So the job market is telling us something serious. More education equals a greater chance of being employed, and the more education, the greater the chance the job will pay a family wage. Now, the very next slide tells us that the mismatch between business needs and attained education is getting worse as we go through time. By 2018, 67% of jobs in Washington State will require some level of post-secondary education, some education beyond high school. This is 4 percentage points above the national average. It's also true that as we go down the line, it gets worse because the state of Washington ranks very high among the states that will be creating quality, high-tech, high-wage jobs. We rank 6th in that category according to a Georgetown study, and the slide we're looking at now shows our rank and jobs forecasted for 2018 by education level. There will be 399,000 jobs requiring an associate degree, 730,000 requiring a bachelor's degree, and 353,000 requiring a graduate degree. Those are huge numbers, and we're simply not ready. What we're witnessing now is what researchers are calling a career failure to launch for young people ages 18 to 24. Today's young adults face high unemployment and lower lifetime earnings, largely as a result of the Great Recession. And at the moment, we see unemployment rates that bear that out. 16.7% of our state's young adults were unemployed in 2012, compared with older adults ages 25 to 64 who had only a 7% unemployment rate. Now, that's not uncommon because usually young people are unemployed at greater rates than those who are mid-career. However, this is unprecedented. In 2007, young adult unemployment was only 10.6%, a full 6 percentage points lower than the 2012 rate. So we see the unemployment rate for young people at an unprecedented high level, and it has huge implications. Basically, this failure to launch is expected to have negative consequences on individual income, lifetime earning potential, and long-term employability for an entire generation of young working people. So this dampening of prospects from the Great Recession, a young adult unemployment by race in the state of Washington is an even more dire picture. Unemployment 2011 was 35.7% for African-American youth compared to 17.6% in 2006 for that same demographic group, double. For Hispanic youth, 2011 unemployment was 24%. In 2006, it was only 13.6% for that group. And for the white cohort, you see 17.9% unemployment in 2011 versus 11.9% in 2006. Unemployment rates for young adults at a staggeringly high level. The next difficulty is that demographic shifts are occurring in our state. The fastest growing demographic groups are the ones that tend to have the lowest educational attainment and the highest rates of unemployment. And the slides you may be seeing now, percentage population growth by race and ethnicity, 2010 to 2030, shows that the white population will grow by about 29% in that time frame. All of the other demographic groups are growing more quickly. African American at 33% growth, Asian Pacific Islander 57%, Hispanic 45%, multiracial 38%, and Native American 46%. So in other words, the young people who are least likely to complete high school, go on to college, and be employed, those young people are in demographic cohorts that are growing very quickly. So the net-net is few young adults have the credentials needed for family wage jobs now, and that picture is not brightening. The current slide shows a completion for AA degrees and bachelor's degrees, highest educational attainment by race. And the frightening thing to me about this particular graph is the highest educational attainment by race among ages 18 to 24, the highest number on the graph is only 16% completion of bachelor's degrees, and that is for the Asian cohort. The white cohort is behind that at 10% completion. For associate's degrees, 11% for Asian Pacific Islander, 7% for white, and all of the other ethnic groups are below those levels of completion of associate degrees and bachelor's degrees. Those are not strong completion numbers. And when you add that up to the family wage jobs being created requiring those credentials and so few young people, 18 to 24, completing them, begins to paint a picture of what's necessary to make sure our students have a high school diploma that is meaningful. Moving on, here's some more detail on four-year college completion. These are also distressing numbers. You can see the highest completion level is still just around 70% completion. So this attrition, young people dropping out, young people not starting college, young people starting but not finishing, the net-net, very few of our young people are completing the credentials necessary for the large number of high-wage jobs that will be created that require technical skill and education beyond high school. So continuing a look at college attrition rates, for those who can see the table that I'm presenting now, it's a distressing picture. We can see graduation rates at the University of Washington over a four-year time frame at only 53.9%. WSU 40.5, Western Washington 36.1, Central Washington 26.8, Evergreen State College 38.6, and Eastern 21.2. Now, granted, the six-year graduation rates are better, with the University of Washington at 80.4% completion, but all of the other schools are below 70% completion, with Evergreen at 51, Central at 56, and Eastern at 48. So even where we are looking at those students who are more so top tier, who have completed college, completed high school going into college, their completion numbers are not great. So what's the issue? I would contend, and it is the reason that I've worked diligently on some of the policies you'll hear about later in this call, I am convinced access to rigorous coursework is a key problem. And this is upheld as a concept by important research that was done by a work group called the Toolbox Revisited Path to Degree Completion from High School Through College. And what that work found was the biggest factor in determining college success is academic intensity of high school curriculum. Academic intensity, such as that found in advanced placement, is a stronger predictive factor than even test scores or demographics in determining college success. So there is something that we can do to prepare more young people to complete in high-demand technical fields and to get some of those great high-wage jobs being created that are going unfilled now and will in the future. What we have to do is get more students access to rigorous coursework. That's the key. Most low-income students and students of color simply do not have access to rigor. Detailed data on every advanced placement and international baccalaureate student in the United States was completed by a group in our state called Equal Opportunity Schools in partnership with a research organization. Their work showed that high schools show that at least 2/3 of a million students who are qualified for advanced courses are not enrolled in them each year. So basically 2/3 of a million students every year who could do advanced work are not enrolled in advanced courses. Why not? Well, at the core is a cycle of low expectations, and I've provided for those who are online a visual that shows at the core a cycle of low expectations that begins with low expectations for low-income students and students of color, expectations that are held by many teachers, administrators. They're in some measure built into a system designed for access to rigorous coursework, so low expectations at the beginning. Many students of color and low-income students then take less challenging courses as they go through school, and as a result, those low-level assignments and low-level of instruction gives them poor preparation for their examinations to see where they stand. They get poor test results, and then as a result, expectations are lowered again. And Stephanie Robinson, when she was at the Education Trust, did fascinating work in this area. And what we find is when low-income students and students of color are not challenged, they simply fall farther and farther behind, and they never regain what they lose because of low expectations. So by the time you reach high school, those low expectations have been hindering access and diminishing student opportunities, not just for going on to coursework that leads to college, but also going on to what used to be called vocational training, career and technical education. Because you'll often hear people say, well, not everyone's college material, not everyone is really ready for rigorous coursework or advanced placement, but they can go do a vocational program and train for a job. Well, the difficulty with that is that 40 to 45% of apprentices in trades in our state, ranging from apprentices in optician, carpenter, machinist, manufacturing technician, electrician, 40 to 45% of all apprentices fail to complete their training. And the important factor that's cited with many of those failures is inadequate preparation in K through 12 primary and secondary education, including reading skills below 10th grade for many students, insufficient numeracy. Many technical apprenticeships, including that for electrician, require math skills equivalent to college-level algebra 1 and 2. And unfortunately, when we're thinking that students don't need academic rigor because they're going to go into a vocational track, we're overlooking the fact that many career and technical apprenticeships and paths toward employment require high levels of reading skill, high levels of math skill, and those must be delivered to all students so that they can be competitive. Now, the community and technical colleges, not just apprenticeships, can paint a picture of readiness and access to rigor. And what we see is that more than half of community and technical college students are enrolled in remedial courses, according to the State Board for Community and Technical Colleges. And the graph on your screen now shows that you have 57% taking any pre-college work that they need, pre-college math 51%, pre-college writing 20%, and pre-college reading coordinated studies 11%. So we have substantial numbers of students required to take remedial courses in those subject areas just to be ready to take college-level work. And many students don't know their career options, and most lack the hard and soft skills needed to pursue them. There are 79 career pathways have been identified by the career and technical specialists at State of Washington in our state. They've organized them into 16 career clusters that you can see on your screen. And most students are not in a good position when they complete high school to pursue any of those clusters or any of the pathways because they don't know about those clusters or the pathways. They've not received career guidance or adequate career planning. Most have not received work-integrated learning or technical skill training. And a comprehensive solution is required that must include, as a prerequisite, rigorous academic standards for all students, then with an overlay of these planning, guidance, and work-integrated learning and technical skill-building experiences in a safe work-integrated learning setting. That's what most students in our state need to get those family wage jobs, and they're not getting it. So what can we do to change things? In the context of readiness for both career and college, it's imperative that we all begin demanding much more rigorous coursework. We have to support Common Core, a 24-credit graduation standard for everyone who gets a high school diploma. We must increase access to advanced placement courses, international baccalaureate programs, and Cambridge programs. And we all have to question teachers and administrators about who gets into rigorous courses and how does that work. We must encourage our education leaders and teachers to expand access to rigor. And for those who are online with me now, the slide entitled, What Can We Do to Change Things? Career and College Demand Rigor, I have linked information to each one of those topics so that you can read more about how to encourage greater access and rigorous opportunities for students. Also, academic acceleration policies and programs. You will learn more about these in the coming webinars, but I want to introduce you to a couple of quick high points. Federal Way Public Schools implemented a board-level policy that greatly increased access to their advanced placement, international baccalaureate, and Cambridge programs. For example, since implementing their academic acceleration program in Federal Way in 2010, the number of students overall taking advanced classes has increased by 195%, and those classes mirror the diversity of the district. In fact, there were increases in participation in every demographic subgroup, including a 1,400% increase in multiracial student participation, 600% increase with Pacific Islanders, 400 for Hispanic students, and a 200% increase in African American students taking the most rigorous courses offered in the district. And that was accomplished in a 2-year period of time. Basically, acceleration automatically enrolls students in advanced placement IB in Cambridge when they meet state standards in those subjects. And it effectively, in the words of Superintendent Rob New, removes 150 years of institutional barriers to students participating. And it's an important innovation you'll learn more about. The other program to know about is Equal Opportunity Schools. It's a nonprofit organization that is working in various districts with their administrators and teaching staff to remove entrenched institutional practices that serve as barriers to participation in rigorous coursework. And recently, 79 high schools were selected to participate in the Equal Opportunity Schools Equity and Excellence Project funded by Google. And as a result, newly selected schools and students are going to be participating in rigorous coursework, many for the first time in their school careers. And some of the schools that were selected to participate are in the state of Washington: Edmonds School District, Everett, Kent, Seattle, and Spokane Public Schools are working with Equal Opportunity Schools, among other districts in our state, to make sure that they're using the best practice in the field to give equitable access to students of color and those with low incomes to advanced and rigorous coursework. And some of what they've learned is that students moved into AP and IB classes are often much more engaged in instruction. It boosts their attendance and may even impact high school completion rates. In other words, the more we challenge kids, the better they do. Students from all races and levels of income are 10 to 20% more likely to complete college if they have ever taken an advanced placement course, regardless of whether or not they took or passed the exam. And students who have taken and passed an exam are 26 to 34% more likely to graduate from high school than their non-AP course-taking peers. So we need to demand more rigor. Here are two great programs you're going to learn more about that can help do that. Also, we can see the results, and there are several quick slides we'll walk through quickly and then take questions. You can see, in the case of Federal Way Public Schools, that as new laws, rules, programs, and progressive policies set high expectations and support students, access to rigorous coursework goes up, and test scores rise and then stabilize. It isn't the case that when you bring more students of color and low income into rigorous coursework, that standards must be lowered and results will fall. In fact, what we see in Federal Way Public Schools is the opposite happens. Initially, scores go up for everyone, and then they stabilize at a level very close to what they were before, with vastly more students participating. We see the same thing happened with Equal Opportunity Schools work in San Jose Unified School District, and we see the same thing again happened in Renton Public Schools, where AP access expansion showed that AP test scores actually went up as participation went up, and then those scores stabilized at a very strong level with many more students participating. So in terms of career, what we're going to have to do to change things is help policymakers expand comprehensive approaches that get young adults on track to securing family wage jobs in a fast-changing economy. I'd recommend those who care on this issue to read and support Washington State's Comprehensive Plan for Workforce Development. It speaks very directly to how we need to support students in learning about great careers and preparing for them and completing the training necessary to secure them. And also introduce young people to the Washington Career Bridge website. Those are linked on the slideshow that I have prepared for today's webinar. We must keep pressing for solutions. Rigorous coursework, readiness for a career in college, those who go to college completing, and those who go onto a career track completing so they can be competitive in a very difficult economy. And I've also linked the next two webinars so that you can pursue those in at the end of the slideshow I've prepared. So take advantage of that, sign up now, and I'd be happy to take questions at this point. We've received a question, will today's presentation be posted to the League of Education Voters website? I'm certain that we can arrange that and post the entire slideshow to the website. In fact, I'm not certain if they're going to be streaming the recorded content as well. but we will certainly be providing the slideshow. Oh, there is a participant who says they're having difficulty opening the slideshow. It seems to be running normally here, but I'm happy to email it to anyone who would like it. Can we collect email addresses on the chat line for anyone who wants the show? And I can just email it at the conclusion of the webinar. I see some email addresses coming in, so I'd be happy to email the slideshow out to those folks who wish it. If you'd like the slideshow, do remember to email or post into the chat line your email address. I see other emails coming in. Are there any other needs or questions? More emails coming in. Oh, and I've learned the slides are already posted on our website, League of Education Voters website, www.educationvoters.org, and the recording will be provided later today. Any other questions or needs?
All right, I'll jump in here. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and thank you, Roz. This was a fantastic presentation. If anyone missed parts of this presentation or want to download it, as Roz said, she'll email them out to you, but we also have them on our website, and the recording will be posted later today at educationvoters.org. And as you saw on the slides, our next lunchtime webinar will be held on October 24th at 12:30, the same time. And you can register on this website at our register for this webinar on our website or in the email you receive tomorrow. Thanks very much, everyone.
Thank you.